Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is that verse in the gospel lesson, verse 26. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Everything will be revealed. And that can go two ways, can't it? It can be tremendously good news. It can be terrible news. The difference between the two, bottom line, is the relationship that we have with God. So, years ago, many, many years ago, I was a little child. At a kind of a wild Sunday school class, and the teacher used to say to us, God sees everything you're doing. Yeah. Made us sit up and take notice, and maybe we got worried for just a little while, and then we got wild again. Okay. But, points up the difference. This whole idea can for those who have a good, solid relationship with God, be the most tremendous news, the sweetest news you can possibly imagine. For those who have no relationship with God, it can strike terror. We're going to work both ways on this, so I'm going to go back and forth on this whole idea. First off, some of the bad news. Without a relationship with God, what happens? The sinner stands there and hears messages from the Bible and considers that the message from the Bible is a threat from God. And this Christian church bunch talks about Judgment Day. But to the outsider, us talking about Judgment Day doesn't sound so good. On Judgment Day, what happens? The one who has no relationship with God has to stand before God and the world and be judged for their sins. And everything will be revealed. We'll come back to that. On the other hand, the Christian stands there in the middle of what we count as tremendous and wondrous promises from God. Let's detail some of those. Jesus said, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Right? Okay. Talking with the kids last night, does God know how many hairs you have on your head? Yes. Now, for some of us here today, you know who you are. That number is decreasing. He knows. He has a complete count. But let's push it a little further. They were great for this in the Middle Ages. They said, not only does he know the number, he knows each one individually. He knows the color of each hair. He knows how long that hair will remain on the head. He knows how long it is, and so on, and so on, and so on. God knows his entire creation in such detail that it is absolutely mind-boggling. That's where they got the whole thing of angels on the head of a pin, because God's attention to that tiniest little detail is an assurance to us as Christians that he knows everything that is happening to us. And he cares. Again, back to the difference. To have somebody know you in such detail could be tremendously sweet news or terrifying, depending on your relationship with them, right? Again, for us as Christians, God not only knows all of those little details, he knows inside the soul. Every thought, dream, fear, worry, hope, anticipation, every emotion and feeling. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Confirmation question. So does God know what you will be going through and what you will be feeling next year in the middle of July, say July 15th at 3:35 in the afternoon? Does he already know everything that you will be feeling on that date? Yes. That is how thorough his knowledge of us is. And we can go into the Bible, and it goes back to the book of Isaiah, where God says, "Before they call, I will answer." So, if there is a prayer that you pray next year at that time, on that date, does God already know that prayer? And if that prayer needs some setting up in order to give the answer, is he already working on it? In fact, some prayers have, lead time of decades or a whole lifetime in preparation for that one moment of prayer that needs that one answer on that date. And this is the detail of the love of God for us. But now let's go back to the other side. To those without the relationship with God, to be known in that kind of detail has to be absolutely terrifying. And in fact, you go to the book of Revelation and you hear depicted on Judgment Day those with no relationship with God calling on the mountains and the hills, "Fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb." Which has got to be one of the strangest phrases in the Bible, the wrath of the Lamb. See, even what we look to and count as a sweet name for Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, they turn into a name of terror and want to be hidden from the wrath of the Lamb. Again, back into confirmation class. On Judgment Day, there are terrors for those apart from God. And it is not only what is coming next and the suffering and the being separated from God forever, but going back to this verse in our gospel lesson, everything will be known. On Judgment Day, in a moment of time, each unbelieving person who has wandered far from God will have to stand before the whole world, everyone who has ever lived, and have revealed in an instant all the wrong, all the sin, all the wandering off from God that is in their soul. Every wrong thought, impulse, desire, or deed known to the entire created world. That's something you just don't want to have to face. Back to, on the side of those who know God, all those sins are swept away and washed away, and they stand before God, before the angels, before all of humanity as perfectly clean and righteous. And then Jesus steps up and says, "These are mine." And you know he recites in the Gospel of Matthew, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat," which is an indication he will recite every little thing that the Christian has ever done in faith and declare it in front of the whole universe, boasting and bragging on us. And the church responds, "When, Lord, when did we do those things?" And he has his response there too. Because you see, the righteousness of Jesus clothes us. We stand before God not with a holiness that we did, but with a holiness that comes from Jesus. And he wraps us in that, and then all that we've ever done in faith gets included in what he reveals to the whole universe. So, nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Everything. Every single thing. And the difference, again, is the relationship with God. It has to be that way, doesn't it? It's the difference between law and gospel, between judgment and salvation, between heaven and hell, between life and death. And it's what Jesus gives to us. So when we go back into the Bible and we read those verses, such as Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. Before there is a word on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. Or, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. And that is for us promises from the Lord who made us. Promises from the Savior who purchased and won us. Promises from God who brought us to faith in Jesus Christ. Promises that come out of that relationship, and from that relationship springs up all of the assurances that the Bible has for us as Christians. And we have to say, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We are not worthy of it. He didn't have to do it. And as a friend of mine says, but he did it anyway. He didn't have to love us in that way, but he did it anyway. He didn't have to call himself our good shepherd, but he did it anyway. And he didn't have to watch over us in such amazing detail that we are to know that every instant, every second, every moment of our lives, we live our lives in the presence of God and with his hands holding us. He didn't have to do that, but he did it. And he did it because he loves us, and it is all given to us by the grace of God. And that's as sweet as it can get for us as Christians. We treasure those promises because we treasure the relationship. In Jesus' name, Amen.